This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Good morning, everybody. I am not Will Doctor. I'm Charlie Epps. Will is skiing in the mountains of Colorado. So I brought in a good friend of mine to help me out today. He's the head professional at Braeburn Country Club in Houston, Texas, since 1999. No other than the toe, Ken McDonald. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
You doing okay?
Absolutely, doing great.
Getting through this cold weather?
Yeah, it's hopefully we're at the back end of that deal.
And we're going to talk about your new golf course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And golf is good, huh? Full membership?
Absolutely. We've got a full membership now and with a waiting list. Incredible.
And golf has never been any better, and Phil Mickelson wants to change it.
You got me on that.
You know, he has really made some big, big mistakes that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Ken and his golf course, his junior program. Braeburn as itself is one of the historic golf clubs in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Jimmy DeMeritt?
Absolutely. They broke off. Well, they came away from River Oaks to come out and do another little club out there, and that was Braeburn. It's been there since 1931.
31.
Yeah. Started in 27. It was supposed to be called Colonial, and John Bradams went up there. We went bankrupt in 27, went up to Fort Worth, built Colonial, named it Colonial, came back, finished in 31, and Brace Bayou behind it called it Braeburn.
How about that? Yes. A little history from Ken McDonald,
yeah.
The toe from Mississippi. Right?
Absolutely.
And why'd you come to Houston?
Opportunity was extended to me. I was working for John McNeely at Annandale, and Dick Harmon called John and wanted to know if he knew of any good assistants. And John, I was looking at maybe going to Shoal Creek or Country Club of the Rockies for Tom Apple. And John says, hey, if you're going to stay in the golf business, you need to go to Houston. I said, yes, sir.
And the rest is history. We're going to talk about our good friend Dick. But right now we're going to break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Braeburn and his club. And this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, the company that inspires business performance on golf communication in Houston, Texas. And Dell is going to help me this morning, right? Keep me on board. All right, Dell, you can have it.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Good morning, everybody. We're back. This is Charlie Epps, the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, a company that inspires business performance. Will is skiing in the mountains of Colorado. I've got my good friend Ken McDonald, the head professional from Braeburn, that we're going to talk about his club. We're going to talk about Phil Mickelson. We've got a tournament going on in Florida, the Honda Classic. Daniel Berger is at 10 under. And then there's some no-names at the, you know, following Berger. Ken, I mean, it's because of scheduling. I mean, they just come off the West Coast. They've been playing a lot out there. They just can't play in every tournament, so there's a lot of guys taking this week off. But Berger is a good player, and the Honda Classic has a golf course that you well know. I'm sure you played there in the PGA Championships and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you play there?
Played the PNC, our national championship there.
Is it hard?
The backhand stuff, it makes you think a little bit weak. If you're in contention, that's for sure.
Well, the tour event, you know, the tour, Ken is a club professional. Now, we talk more about the tour than we do about club pros, but you're the guy that makes, you know, promoting the game of golf since 1999 at Braeburn, and now you have a club that has just been redone, right?
Correct.
And?
Yeah.
How's it looking?
Trip Davis was our architect we brought in to do. We had to do the the regular maintenance stuff as far as new irrigation, which we got state-of-the-art irrigation, and drainage. It's as important to get the water out as it is to put it on it. So it costs just a little bit more to bring in an architect, and Tripp did a fabulous job on that. The routing stayed the same, but he updated everything. Just a little example, like number one, there was a bunker down on the right side. Most players are right-handed. Most players hit it with a fade, and they would end up in that bunker. So Tripp took that out, and that's kind of the way to go now. So he's really done a remarkable job updating the course.
Made it a little more playable?
Absolutely. For his task was to make it playable for the higher handicapper and harder for the lower handicapper, and he did a good job. I didn't know how he was going to do that, but he pulled it off. He did.
Well, that's amazing. And Braeburn is a club that started in what year?
It came into existence in 1931.
Isn't that something? And a guy named Jimmy DeMeritt was involved out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy DeMeritt and Jackie Birkstadt.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
And ever since, you've followed some important guys. Our mentor, Jack Selman.
No doubt.
Tell me about the Silver Blade.
He was incredible to the pretty much the day he died. He was a permanent fixture out there, kind of old school, a little crusty, kind of softened up. Softened up a little bit towards
him.
No,
he had a heart of gold.
Oh, he did, no doubt.
You know, he chewed a little too much tobacco.
Maybe. If he didn't spit on you with tobacco juice, he didn't like you.
So what's the key to being a good club professional? You've been, you know, so many years at it. You learn from the best of the best.
Yeah, you know, having worked for the private and the club industry and then the corporate, they had did a little rollout deal with the corporate once I left River Oaks, and they did this deal. It was good. They have to do something in the ivory tower. And one of the things was the three steps of service, which was a warm welcome, a magic moment, and a fond farewell, which is really good. It's key. And I was an independent contractor working for a corporate deal. And I had to sit through this whole day of learning all this stuff that they were rolling out. And finally the guy says, hey, Ken, my manager, his name is Charlie Loud. Ken, what do you think about this three steps of service? I said, actually, it's really, we kind of live that. Right now, all the department heads. The only reason we're here is we already exemplify that. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, Mr. Harmon invented that deal, the warm welcome when he met, when he saw the member in the morning, and then the magic moment. He said something about maybe their game prior or their family or something and brought a topic up. And then when he was leaving in the afternoon, they, you know, wondering how he played or where he was taking his family on a trip. But just stayed engaged with the member.
So you were already following that in the new court. The new suit tried to tell you what to do, huh?
Absolutely.
And where's that suit now? He went down the road?
They kind of disbanded, and you know, but they were just trying to earn their keep at that point in time. And they put words to what we lived, you know, warm welcome, magic moment, and a fine farewell. Yeah. Mr. Harmon didn't say that. He just lived it.
But your club is an independently It's owned by the members.
Private, yeah, correct.
And you have a board of directors, and you have the control of the golf program. And why all of a sudden is your club full of members?
We did a little marketing, but the golf course, we started with some really good bones, and then Tripp came in and improved that significantly. And just, I guess, the word got out on the street. It's caught on fire.
And then COVID really changed our lives, didn't it? No doubt. It gave people, you know, a lot of people working from home, and a lot of people with the cell phone were working from their golf cart.
No doubt. We since I've been at Braeburn, we most rounds I think we've ever done was like 32,000 rounds. COVID year, we did 42,200. So we up 10,000 rounds.
Wow. We're going to hold that right there. Right now I'm going to talk about Insperity, a company that inspires business performance. During the recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity, a company that was established in 1986 and is now 4,000 employees strong, has helped their clients navigate through chaos and ultimately rising above these challenges. And we all know the challenges of doing business today are vast, and you have to make sure that you have your HR business intact, and then you have to run your business. So if you want help, do me a favor and just log on to Insperity.com, let you see what their mission statement is and what they do to help their small businesses achieve what they want to achieve and grow your business. Think about this. Insperity has grown their business since 1986 from zero to $4 billion.
Good night.
So their way of management is really, it's one of the best companies to work for, but it's also one of the best companies to get help from. Insperity, a company that will show you the way. Right, Dell? You sure now? What time are we going to break? A couple more minutes? Two more minutes. Real fast. Tell me about Phil Mickelson.
Wow. You know, I'm sure there's two sides to every story. I'm not sure what Phil's side is. It doesn't look good for him from this point with his major sponsors.
He's lost them all. And that's probably $5, $6 million a year.
Yeah.
I wonder, because he opened his mouth.
Right.
And he went the wrong way. He went against the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour has never been so healthy.
No doubt.
And now all of a sudden you're getting some guys coming in, like Greg Norman, that really want to change the model.
Right.
And the PGA Tour is not going to let that happen.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking. I know he's a smart guy. I know he's kind of a maverick of his own. He started out that way, but this day and time, you know, be quiet and appear dumb, speak up and remove all doubt. Mr. Harmon's motto.
That's it. That's a good one. So this is Charlie Epps. We're going to break right now. Dell's going to take us, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. And we got a surprise guest all the way from Czechoslovakia.
Wow.
John Granato. So, Dell, you take it right away.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
This is Charlie Epps. We're talking golf this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, live from Houston, Texas, Gal Communications. I have a good friend of mine, a golf professional for many, many years in Houston, Texas, Ken McDonald, the director of golf at Braeburn Country Club, which just went through a renovation, and he had a great architect. And tell me, the history of your club is really unique. I mean, you've had a lot of people go through there that you know, were leaders in industry that love that place. Great golf pros, you know, from Jimmy DeMeritt to Jack Selman. Of course, you followed. And what drives Country Club?
You know, membership, obviously. It's not about the brick and mortar. It's all about the members. And we have a kind of a melting pot of members that come into the club. And we pretty unique way of bringing members in is basically kind of an invitation. So the members that come in, and they invite their friends. And so that's how pretty much most of our members have come to the club. Recently, we got in 65 new members last year.
Wow.
While we were nothing but dirt, down to the bare bones. But it had to do with what our vision was, what we're trying to do. And you know, like you said, the game has changed so much in the last couple of years with COVID. More people play golf. They use golf as a kind of a safe haven away from the exposure to COVID. They're out playing in the fresh air and they don't have to work at home. I mean, work at the office. They can work at home before they play or after they play. So, as we've seen a huge number of rounds being played.
Now, as a golf pro, and I was a golf pro for a few years, you just get 65 new customers.
Right.
And that 65 is multiplied by 4.
Yes.
So now, do they let you multiply your staff to take care of all these new customers plus the people that have been there for you know, all the, you know, the last 50 years?
They do not.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So you're striped. I mean, you have to cover a lot of bases. Golf Pro, I mean, not only do you hire and fire and keep your staff going, you have to train them. Young kids that usually are not ready for the job that you have to mold into providing service. I think country clubs are really service-oriented facilities, correct?
Correct, no doubt. So Mr. Harmon's motto, hire ladies and gentlemen first, train them to do the rest.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a good motto. And we have a special guest this morning all the way from Czechoslovakia. We have our sports director here at Gal Communications weekly show with Lance, John Granato. How you doing?
Dobrý den. Jak si máš?
What's that? I didn't understand you.
Well, it's the Czech Republic now, Charlie. It's been 30 years. So
Republic.
We refer to ourselves as the Czech Republic.
Now. Oh, I see. You know, you and your beautiful wife are over there on a honeymoon, or what are you doing?
Well, no, we're walking down beautiful cobblestone street just off the Charles Bridge in Newtown. You go back and forth over the bridge to Old Town, and it's just wonderful. It's packed with people. When we first got here, actually, there weren't all that many people, but I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's warming up. COVID restrictions are lessening, so they really struggled here because they really depend on a lot of tourism, and with COVID, it's been really bad. So the place is livening up. It's just beautiful. If you ever get a chance to go to Prague, it's unbelievable. It is just awesome.
Yeah, I hear it's one of the beautiful cities of Eastern Europe. But now, since you've been gone, we've got some controversy going on in the game of golf. And I got our good friend Kenny McDonald here. We've been talking a little about Phil and what he's done. Phil and Greg Norman, they're all against the PGA Tour. How do you see all this going down, John?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you guys said about I didn't pick up the show here in Prague, but I don't know what you guys said about Phil, but I thought he looked really bad. I mean, first of all, you know, all the stuff that he said about Saudi Arabia and those, you know, calling them names and they're killing people over there. But listen, that's okay as long as I can get a little leverage against the PGA Tour. I was like, really, Phil? You're gonna get in bed with those guys? But as long as you can get a little leverage against the PGA Tour, I mean, just terrible. So you can get a little bit more money, as if the game hasn't given you enough over all these years that you have to have a little bit of leverage against the PGA Tour. I thought it was just, it made him look really bad. And then he goes and says, well, the guy who he was interviewing him, you know, was, it took him out of context. And I was like, hold on a second. And the guy, he came back and said, I did not take anything out of context. Bill was just running his mouth there. And, you know, that guy is dependent, his livelihood is dependent on most golfers all trusting him. And Phil's accusing him of stuff that probably isn't true. So that kind of, I mean, Phil has looked really, really bad on this whole thing, in my opinion. I don't know how are you guys looking at it.
Well, John, one thing that happened again is Callaway has suspended his relationship with their company. Workday has suspended his relationship. KPMG, he has no more sponsors. They all put him to the side. So he's definitely really gone down the wrong highway. And Kenny has had some remarks. Hello to your buddy, John.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
What's going on, Tal? How are you doing?
Good. You know, America's Guest, how did you get the Czech Republic to invite you over there to spend a couple of weeks with them, huh?
I actually, you won't believe this, but I actually spent money to do that.
No, you're right.
Unbelievable. I heard you guys got about 3 or 4 holes open. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're going to open the remaining 5 on the 22nd of April, so we'll have all 18 at that point in time.
Good for you. I heard it's beautiful. My boy Terry Yates said, you guys, it's just gorgeous. He wants me to come over and play, surprisingly.
Yeah.
I got an invite from somebody, Ken.
Well, I'll have you and Charlie come over, and the guest fee, I think we've gone up just a little bit. And Charlie's for free. He's a pro.
What is that? Charlie, you're going to have to translate. Yeah. I don't speak. That doesn't compute here in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, as far as Phil, you know, there's always two sides to every story. It doesn't look good for Phil. I'm just kind of hoping they did take him out of context, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either. But that kind of stinks for that guy. I forget the name of the guy who wrote that piece. But, you know, again, his livelihood is dependent on guys talking to him. So that kind of stinks if it wasn't taken out of context. I mean, it sounds like Phil was just running his mouth, and oh, well. I mean, I like what did you guys like Rory's response to the whole thing?
Oh, Roy just said it the way he saw it. I mean, it was very, very derogatory. Not derogatory, you know, called Phil out, you know, saying the things that he was saying were stupid and uncalled for. And, you know, he has all the trust in the world and the PGA of America, the PGA Tour running their business, and they're part to be, you know, they're proud to be a part of the PGA, and all the other players came in line, and that's when really everything hit the fan.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that this the Saudi Arabia League has any legs?
It has some money, but I think they're going completely, you know, bass backwards to put something together that they're trying to steal the players from the PGA Tour to use what they've built over the last 50 years, and that's not going to work. And they got to start from the bottom. They should buy the Latin American Tour and grow that business into something that's really good. That's what the NFL did. I mean, the NFL, they started a new league, and they didn't, you know, they competed with the draft, but they couldn't sign any of their players. So it's I think they made some big mistakes. Starting with Greg Norman. I mean, Greg Norman's the one that initiated all this. I mean, he's the worldwide guru of gurus, you know, made his money, and that's fine. But, John, I don't think it's has a leg to stand on.
Yeah, you know, Henrik Stenson and Phil and Greg Norman, you know, we want to see those guys, you know, like 30 years ago. But now, you know, it's you know, the guys on the tour, I really like the way they've taken the stance. I really do.
Yeah.
That they're you know, they're going to stick with the tour and the guy. The tour has made all of those guys names throughout the year. So that's really great. That is really great. So we'll find out. But how's, I heard it's cold there, guys. Huh? We ain't playing no golf today?
Cold. It's 42, 43 degrees and rainy. Yeah. So yeah, we're staying inside of Gal Communication. The studios are beautiful here. Do you work here anymore, John?
I do. I'm there, you know, every day, Charlie. But what does a golf pro do on a Saturday afternoon? You know, when nobody's going to be playing golf out there on the course, can't give any lessons. What do you hit the bars? What do you do all day now?
Well, you know, we'll start with in studio with Mr. Charlie Epps. Good shot.
Yeah.
And then in the afternoon we'll have lunch and maybe watch some golf on TV, watch Daniel Berger win.
Hey, John, we're going to go to a break in about a minute. Do you want to stick on or, okay, or are you going to go
more
shopping?
I've got a Pilsner or Quell waiting for me, Charlie. Okay. Y'all have a great time, okay? I really, really appreciate you guys. Love you. And I will see you. I'm going to see you real soon there. So
okay.
I'm going to be over there with my man, Terry Yates, playing, all right?
I look forward to it.
You and Wendy have a great rest of your vacation and come back safely. And we'll talk to you this coming week. That's John Granato. I'm Charlie Epps, Ken McDonald. We're having fun here inside Gal Communications in Houston, Texas. We're going to break. This is a heartbreak right here, Dale, right? 20 seconds, 10 more seconds. You can count me down. I'll give it to Dell right now. This is Charlie Epps. We'll be right back, and we'll talk more golf with Ken McDonald.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston and all across the world.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
Everybody, good morning. We got a few more minutes left in the show, which we're visiting with Kenny Mack, Ken McDonald from Braeburn Country Club. Been the pro there since 1999. Promotes the game like nobody else. And I'm going to ask him a few questions. I've got a Golf Digest magazine, and Kenny is old school. He always talking a lot about Lanny Watkins and all the old guys that are so much better than the players today. I kind of disagree with him. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's
Kenny.
Fine.
I'm just kidding. But, you know, the cover today on Golf Digest, there's a gentleman by the name of Colin Morikawa.
Yeah.
How good is this guy?
This guy's got the total package, I think.
And why is that? Why did he come out of college and was able to win a major, was able to win a second major in a very short time? He did stuff that, you know, guys like Lanny Watkins and those guys of that era weren't able to do.
Correct. You know, today they're exposed to so much more at an earlier time in their career. And there's so many different components to become a winner. It's not easy to win on a PGA Tour. I look at Scott Hoke at the playoff on number 10 at Augusta. He had a 2-foot putt, and he could be a major winner. But he wasn't a major winner, you know, caliber. And he couldn't even make a 1.5, 2-foot putt. But so a lot has to do, in my opinion, the confidence, the mental aspect of the game. And that's what Nicklaus and Tiger always excelled at, was the ability to stay in the moment, concentrate, and believe in what they're doing. You don't have to have a perfect swing.
Now, you came up through junior golf, and you played, you know, enough junior golf. And then after junior golf, what did you do? You went to high school?
Correct.
And then you went from high school to?
I went to Mississippi State.
Mississippi State, had a college career. Do you think the college programs today are that much better than the ones you experienced?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Actually, I transferred, qualified for the amateur, and they had changed my coach. They fired my coach at Mississippi State, Ronnie Moore, great guy. And Ernest Ross asked me to come over to Ole Miss. I went over to Ole Miss. And we used to work out just a little bit. But one of the things we do at Ole Miss was we just kind of run to the front gates, like 2 miles, so 4 miles. That was, you know, the extent of our exercise. And you see on the Golf Channel the Oklahoma State workout regimen that those guys do. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Well, they got to get fit so they can get on their private plane to fly to their tournaments, correct?
Yeah, no doubt.
But then the advent of, you know, golf has come a long way. I mean, and with the TrackMan information, has that influenced your teaching? What do you think that would have done for you if you would have had that when you were looking to get better?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. If I had it, I had the workout regimen and the TrackMan and nobody else did, absolutely I would have been out there. But when everybody has it becomes a fair game. As far as teaching, I use it a little bit, not a lot. I have the V1 system that I used a bit that you could kind of show playing and different things. But not everybody's kind of visual in learning. So you got to kind of look at what, you know, face angle doesn't mean anything to somebody. You know, maybe the feel of a grip or something might work more for them, mm-hmm. make a difference.
Now, we know that your bread and butter is not teaching the PGA Tour Pro. You have ladies program. How many ladies do you have in your program at Braeburn?
I just saw one of Cheryl Walters just signed up for our sand clinic on Wednesday. So we're at like 16 or 17 for that.
Uh-huh.
Teach them how to hit out of the new bunkers.
And then with the weather breaking when springtime comes, what will that increase to? Will your ladies really support that type of clinic?
Yeah, that's they all like the clinics. You know, when the weather gets good, they like to play. Uh-huh. I'm not sure. You know, and we'll have some scheduled clinics for them.
Now, Director of Golf, do you have a teaching professional like a lot of the clubs have hired, and they take on a big percentage of lessons for your members?
At this point in time, no, we do not. I've got two assistants, Jeremy Ortega and Paul Simpson, and then Mark Duransky is the head pro. So we all share in that. We probably could, with the addition of these new 65 members, we might be something we look at in the future.
How about driving range space with this your new crowded club? How are you going to handle that?
You know, we have like 19 spaces on our south end, and I don't like 14 on the north end. And they stay full right now most of the day. Sunday afternoons get really busy, Friday afternoons, but it's it kind of manages itself at this point in time.
Now, you say your club is by invitation only, but if there are people listening to the show that have moved into Houston and are coming in, you know, we go to 100 cities all over our country. Can somebody call the general manager and find out more information?
Yeah, no doubt. Lisa Kruth is my membership secretary, and she's incredible. She does a wonderful job for us, getting them in and then programs to keep them engaged and stay a member.
The junior program and the ladies program and the men's golf association. You've always had, you know, I've played in a lot of your events at your club, and your men's association has always supported all of your events.
Oh, yeah. They're our number one purchaser at our pro shop every single year, no doubt. They support the club. And, you know, my pro member guests that you play in, they donate money to the purse on that deal. And I have people asking me if they can come play in that deal. I said, well, let's see how that is this year.
very popular, yeah. Because you got good gumbo.
Yeah, no doubt. It's on Friday. That's it.
Friday. So as you move forward, I'm not saying you're close to retirement, but as you approach those years, are you planning to do anything else, or what's in the vision of Kenny McDonald?
Well, that's a good question. I wish I had a crystal ball. Yeah, the game has changed dramatically, and it was evolving over time, but COVID kind of accelerated that. So, you know, with the addition of the new members coming in, they all want to play golf, so we got to teach them how to play and play fast.
And now your good buddy over at Houston Country Club, he's announced his retirement.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do without Gordy around? You guys have been traveling for many, many years.
I know. Wow. I don't know. I don't even want to think about it right now.
Why not?
Well, you know.
You got to plan for the future.
I know. We'll see when he gets there. Got all year to think through that.
All right. Well, we're going to ask you some questions here now and in the magazine. You know, and I know you keep up with the tour. John Rahm is...
Yeah,
is the number one player in the world.
And, I think for a reason.
You know, which is?
I think he plays for the hardware like Tiger. He plays from the heart, from the gut.
Now, he, according to Golf Digest, is the best driver on tour. And he has kind of a funny swing. I mean, it's he can swing inside of a gymnasium, you know, it's flat. What do you think about his swing?
Well, you know, that's... You know, that's used to a long time ago. You could put Lee Trevino and Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus and Time Weisskopf and Miller Barber at the other end, and you know where you couldn't see who they were and just watch a swing, and know exactly who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Today you get Adam Scott and Justin Rose and the guys that have those Steve Elkingtons, you know, the beautiful swings. You can put them down there, and you're like, wow, I don't know. You know, whatever works, and that's Rahm has it, and he wants it.
Yeah,
he's not scared.
No, he proved that at the U.S. Open. His victory there was quite something. Well, moving on to the next part of the game, driving of course is number one, but iron play is really another art because you're playing with the golf ball on the ground.
Correct.
It's not on a tee. It's correct. On the ground. Now, here they're saying Colin Morikawa is the best iron player on tour today. In the past of all, and you've played in a lot of PGA championships, and you know a lot of good players. Who was your best iron player when you were involved playing on tour?
Well, you know, one of the best ball strikers was Boo Weekly.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. You know, not a name. He did ride that little fictitious horse off the tee at the Ryder Cup one time, but that's what I think his claim to fame. But, you know, Lanny was a good ball striker. And he didn't shy away from any pins. He fired at them.
Iron play.
You know, ball striker, iron, you know.
Okay. All right. Chipping and pitching is an art. You know, number one, give me your best chipping and pitching tip.
Utilize the bounce. Don't lean that shaft so far forward. And not using a lot of hand, not a wrist break. So kind of go with a strong left-hand grip and don't manipulate the blade much.
Kevin Na is in Golf Digest as the best chipper. And he says, chip it close with my dead soft technique.
I mean, I didn't know he did that, but I like that. I really
That's a
do.
Good, and I've never heard of dead soft. I've heard of soft, but dead soft just means it really is not alive.
Correct.
You know, we're not chipping with that electric.
A lot of hinging in your hands.
Nerves. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw Koepka's up and down on par three yesterday.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, you can't teach that.
Yeah.
That's you know, he kind of utilized the hands and the bounce, and he just kind of. It didn't go at it hard, just let the club do the work, and it landed right where he wanted it to and rolled out by the pin. That was incredible.
Another guy that's really come on strong, Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid has proven that he can really scramble with the best of them, mainly because he makes every 20-footer he looks at. What's your best advice for scrambling? You know, weird areas where you really got to come up with some imagination.
What's my advice? You know, a lot of it is imagination and kind of believing in the technique that you currently have and have practiced it. So you just look and see what it is and feel it and commit to the shot.
Feel, that's a big word, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt.
Feel what you're doing. What would Claude Harmon say?
I'm sorry?
What would Claude Harmon say?
I don't have one for that one.
Okay, well, we're going to come right back. We got one more break. Kenny and I are going to talk a little more about the PGA Tour. We're going to see what's coming up for the Masters. So y'all stay tuned. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, a company that will inspire business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
2 minutes. Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Charlie Epps. Ken McDonald, I want to thank for coming in this morning, sharing your story about your club, your beautiful club. The spring is going to be fun to see it all come together and... as far as the spring is concerned, what do you look forward to doing, Ken?
Well, you know, we did the total renovation last year. We allotted for 25 rain days. We had more than 65 rain days.
Oh, my gosh.
That put us behind. And then we got our grass out of, which is Northbridge, out of Dallas-Fort Worth area. So it couldn't rain up there or here. So we got the course put back together, but the siding was a little late. So we've opened 13 holes December the 11th. And then we're going to open the remaining five holes on April 22nd.
Uh-huh. You're going to have a big celebration?
Yeah, well, on the 21st, we'll do that night, absolutely. And then kick off with a shot to double shotgun on Saturday, and then we'll do tee times on Sunday. But that'll be the new opening, the new Braeburn. Yes,
the last Braeburn redo, you had to do it because of drainage has to do with
the flood control. Sure.
And so, you know, Braeburn is one of those old traditional golf courses that, you know, you walk from green to tee, tee to green. You know, it's really a nice experience, and you got good location.
Sure.
You're almost downtown.
Yeah. It's so. Just outside, or actually just inside Beltway 8. So, and actually, Tripp, one of the things, I mean, like I said, he exceeded my expectations of what he was going to do.
Your architect.
Correct. And when you walk off the 8th green to the 9th tee, there's a little pathway. I mean, you just walk almost onto it. And you do the same thing from 11 to 12 and 12 to 13. And the back tee on 17, which we hadn't played yet, the back tee on 17 is on the fringe on 16, so it's across the creek.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Ken, we got a couple seconds. Who are you picking for the Masters?
Well, I like John Rahm.
John Rahm, number one player in the world. John Rahm. You hear it from right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Ken McDonald, John Rahm. I'm not sure who I'm picking yet, but it's been a great morning. Dell, thank you for keeping me straight. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, and we'll talk to you all next week.